Who do you say Jesus is? The million-dollar question. It might not be the question you came to church with this morning, but it's certainly the question that Christmas raises every single year. Who do you say Jesus is? Notice the question isn't, who is Jesus? The question is, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Now, you might leave here today and be thinking a little bit about Jesus, but what will you be thinking and saying to yourself in a week or 2 weeks or a month's time when you're on holidays, back at work, you've forgotten all about today? Who will you say Jesus is at that moment? You might rightly ask the question, well, what are my options? What are the options for the answer to the million-dollar question? Well, the most obvious answer to the question is the answer that Christmas gives us, which is Jesus is a baby. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? Despite all the obstacles, this poor mother and this bewildered stepfather actually overcome all the obstacles and have a baby, and they call him Jesus. Well, that's who Jesus is. And the story of Christmas is such a lovely story because it's a story of hope, story of innocence, has all these lovely characters, some of them moo, some of them bar. And people sometimes just look at that story and go, Jesus is just a lovely baby, and it's a great story. But the problem is, if that's your answer, you are forgetting that Jesus actually grows up and becomes a human being, becomes a man, becomes an adult. So in order to answer the question, you actually have to consider, who is Jesus the adult? Now, you may read some of the things that the adult Jesus says and come to the conclusion he says some really, really good and helpful things. And the answer to the million-dollar question might be, he's a wise guy, a wise teacher. It may be that you're the sort of person who really enjoys reading the wise words of others because they help you think about life and what matters, and you get good suggestions from other people. You know, I know lots of people who enjoy reading the wise words of people like the Dalai Lama and Gandhi and the Prophet. I know someone who keeps a Bible on the same bookshelf as some Hindu sayings and is personally quite a fan of an Indian person called Sai Baba. It's quite a whole sort of mix of things. So it could be that you say to yourself, well, Jesus is just one wise voice amongst many. He's got great things to say, like love your neighbour as yourself, or render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And he tells these great stories that stick in the mind and give us little sayings like, let's be a good Samaritan, or let's not cast the first stone. These are great, great sayings, and someone very wise must have come up with those. And you can read those sayings, and they can feed your soul. They can encourage you to be a better person. Around Christmas time, you've got to read words very carefully and look and learn so that you don't make mistakes. I read recently that the three most common phrases, these are wise phrases, the three most common phrases at Christmas time are peace on earth, goodwill to all, and batteries not included. Children often have a wisdom of their own. 6-year-old Beth was asked what she was going to give her brother for Christmas, and she said, I don't know. And so her friend said, well, what did you give him last year? And she said, chicken pox. So who do you say Jesus is? Is he a baby or a wise teacher? And it may be that you don't actually say that. It's not as if you're sitting around Christmas lunch and going, well, I think he's a baby. What do you think? Well, I think he's just a wise teacher. You may not actually have that conversation. But what can happen is you might come to church and you might think a little bit for a while, but your thinking stops. It stops at just, he is a baby, he's nothing more than a wise teacher. It may be that you haven't got any further in your thinking about who Jesus is. Well, we're here today in church, it's Christmas Day, let's just take a little bit longer to think about what the possible answers are to this question. No doubt you will have seen that tomorrow is the release of the first in the Narnia Chronicles of movies. This one's called The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. It was written by C.S. Lewis, who at one stage in his life was a professor of English at Oxford and then in Cambridge. When C.S. Lewis was an adult, a young man in his 20s, he didn't actually know if God existed, let alone who Jesus was. But through the help of some friends, including Tolkien, and his own reflections on the Bible, eventually as a mature, thoughtful adult, he came to a state of faith in Jesus. During the Second World War, Lewis wrote a number of talks about the Christian faith, and they were broadcast on radio in England. They were then published in a little booklet called Mere Christianity. In one of the chapters of Mere Christianity, Lewis writes a chapter called The Shocking Alternative. And in this chapter, he gives us, I think, a variety of answers to this question, and he limits the possible answers to only a couple, a handful. He says that Jesus cannot be thought of simply as a wise teacher because of the claims that Jesus makes. And most obviously, the claim that Jesus makes to forgive sin. He says that only God can do that. And Jesus is not saying, I just forgive the sins that are committed against me. He's saying, I forgive the sins that are committed by everybody against everybody. And Lewis says this, now, unless the speaker is God, this claim to forgive everybody's sins is really preposterous. We can all understand how a man forgives another man who sins against him. You step on my toe and I forgive you. You steal my money and I forgive you. But what do we make of a man himself unrobbed and untrodden on who announced that he forgave you for treading on other men's toes and stealing other men's money? This makes sense only if he really was God and whose laws are broken and whose love is wounded with every sin. So Lewis is trying to say, let's not have this alternative about a wise teacher, because Jesus makes such preposterous claims, particularly to forgive sin, that you can't say that he's that. He goes on to say this, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or he would be the devil himself. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronising nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. When you try and distill what Lewis is saying, you come up with three other options to this question, and people have summarised these with three L words. Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or, in fact, the Lord. He could be a liar. It could be that he is not God. He didn't die on a cross. He didn't rise from the dead. He is a liar. And the church has been perpetuating that lie for two millennia. By the way, that is the presupposition behind the Da Vinci Code, which will become a big blockbuster later in the year, no doubt, or next year. Remember, that's sold in the fiction section of the bookshops, by the way. So he could be a liar. Second thing is, he could be a lunatic. Now, Jesus had great powers. He was able to manage a crowd. He could really do some amazing things. But just perhaps he got delusions of grandeur and things just got a bit crazy. And not only did he die, but his lunacy caused the death of lots of others. Liar, lunatic, or he could in fact be the Lord. As his name means, as the girls told us, he is the Lord who comes to save people, the Son of God, come to earth. He is who he said he was, God come to earth. First appearing amazingly, mysteriously, as a baby, and then growing to be a man who died and rose again? So you could answer, liar, lunatic, Lord, or in other words, a madman, or he was mistaken, or he was the Messiah. I don't know what your family was like this morning. I woke up feeling a little bit jet-lagged after a late night, and there was a bit of noise from the bedroom next to us, where three little people sleep. And I thought, while I was lying there, there's a lot to be said for living in a monastery. But the grass is never greener. You've got to be aware the grass is not always greener on the other side. I told this little story last night, so apologies to anyone who was here last night. There was a monastery high in the hills who had, they had a very, very strict vow of silence. And only on one day of the year could one monk say one sentence. So on Christmas Day, Brother Thomas stood up to speak his one sentence, and he said, "I like the mashed potatoes we have with the Christmas turkey." And he sat down. Silence ensued for the next 364 days. Christmas Day the following year, and Brother Michael gets his turn, and he stood up and said, "I think the mashed potatoes are lumpy and I hate them." And he sat down. Silence for another 364 days. Following Christmas Day, Brother Paul stands up and he says, "I'm fed up with this constant bickering." Who do you say Jesus is? Does it matter? Does it really matter what you say? Well, let me give you an answer by going this way. I want to know the truth about who I am, who my mother and father are, where I was born, where I grew up, why I am the person I am. I want to know those things. It helps me as an adult to know where I've come from. And more broadly than this, I want to know where we have come from, philosophically and scientifically even. I want to understand the world and know where we are going. I want to know what matters in life so that I don't waste my life. I know I only have one life, and I know it could end at any time. I want to understand things that are true. I don't want to be living a lie. Christmas is a time for celebration, so I'm told. But in the world I live in, there is a lot of pain and suffering. I want to make sense of that. Christmas is a time for families. But how do I build a solid family in a world that is under so much stress? Christmas is a time of peace and joy. But gee whiz, it's hard to get hold of those things day after day, isn't it? And even at Christmas, it seems to be in short supply. Now, knowing who Jesus is truly helps me, ironically, answer all those other questions about where I've come from and where I'm going, what to do with my life that makes any value in the world, how to build my family and contribute to my community, how to ensure my life is not wasted, and even how to find peace. I think deep down, all of you here this morning have similar longings, and the people you will share Christmas Day with today will also have similar longings. Who in their heart of hearts does not want to experience peace? Who of you wants to waste your life believing lies and half-truths? None of you do. You all want to know what the truth is. Ironically, I think the answers to all those other questions starts with answering the million-dollar question. Who do you think Jesus is? It's not therefore a question of money, it's a question of life and death. I have three children, and it may surprise any of you who are parents that my children are sometimes fussy about what they eat. So occasionally we have spaghetti, don't we? But my kids don't like anything on the spaghetti other than maybe some butter and a bit of cheese. No bolognese sauce, no carbonara sauce, no marinara, no nothing. Just plain spaghetti. And I tell them, well, it may be this is how you like your spaghetti at the moment, but it might be that next week you like it differently. Your taste buds might change. You might find you enjoy something next week or next month that you think you don't like this week. My point is today, it may be that you're sitting here this morning with an answer to that question, who do you say Jesus is? And it may be it's a bit locked. All I would say to you is, maybe next week you might think something differently. Maybe next Christmas you might think something differently. Keep an open mind. If anything I've said this morning even sort of touches a nerve of curiosity in you, let me suggest three things you might do over the summer. One is you might just read one of the biographies of Jesus. There are four in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Try reading one of those. Secondly, I have some booklets here called Why Christmas. You'll see a bigger version of this come up. Why Christmas? It tells you why we celebrate Christmas and a bit more about the person of Jesus. If you would like one of these, come and speak to me and I'll happily give you one. Or Tanya's going to just stand up or wave her arm around. Tanya will be in the kitchen serving tea and coffee. Tanya's much more friendly than I am. I'm really scary, so a lot of people don't come and ask me for things. Tanya's very, very nice. She will have copies of this as well in the kitchen. You know, kitchens are really nice, safe places. Go and ask her for one as a gift from me. You could read that. The third thing is, you may not have realised, but Melbourne is hosting the Commonwealth Games this year, this coming year. And in March, there'll be all these visitors coming. And then after the Commonwealth Games are over, the churches all around Melbourne are going to be putting on an introductory Christianity course called Alpha. It will be on in over 100 churches all through Melbourne. If you're a visitor here today, it may be you're from another part of Melbourne, there may be a course on next to you. The course involves learning some stuff about Christianity, coming and asking your questions. Whatever questions you want to ask, you're allowed. Eating some food, meeting some new people. It's great fun. There's no pressure put on, doesn't cost anything. And there'll be a course run here starting in April, and there'll be courses, as I said, starting all over town. Just log that away as a possible thing that you might do with your new open mind. May God bless you, and if you're followers of Jesus, may he continue to guide you and your families this coming year, so that you know how to follow him, you know how to make the most of the life that God has given you, and you can praise God for Jesus every single day. If you're a searcher, a seeker, if you're someone just not quite sure, well, may God speak to you in ways that you understand, and maybe you can do one of these three things I've suggested, and you might find you come next Christmas and you're a different person because Jesus has become who he is for you. Thank you. God bless you.